B-Pod Studios.
And we have bigger fish to fry here with Tim McManus. Covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast hotline beyond fast. Timmy!
What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Well, I tell you, Tim, things are very unsettled right now for more reasons than one. So let's talk about the biggest one here. The big blowout of the Achilles, which we woke up to today, and what the ramifications are for this team as you see it.
I mean, it's a significant blow to this offensive line and this offense. Brandon Brooks is one of the best players at his position in the NFL and is one of the best players on the Eagles. And he makes up a right side tandem with Lane Johnson that is as good as there is in the league, and they really feed off of one another. And so, I mean, there's no sugarcoating the fact that this is a blow to the team. I would say if there's a silver lining, it's that the position, like if you were to have a position go down of a player of importance, guard, would be better than tackle, say. So it's not like they can't find somebody in there to stabilize it. But Brooks, being down means that the offensive line is worse off for it.
Yeah, I see. Here are the options I see. You obviously see the same ones, and it came up right away. Jason Peters re-signed to play right guard. And the other option is you resign him, you play him tackling, move Dillard to guard, or a guy that you have currently on your roster, or maybe you sign another guy, or one of your draft picks. Which of these options do you think they will go to?
So I don't think that they have honed in on that quite yet. Doug Peterson said that they're exploring all possibilities. I followed up with somebody in-house shortly after that interview today and asked about Jason Peters specifically, and got back that we are going to explore all possibilities, which did not discount Jason Peters' return to Philadelphia. But from what I've heard prior to this injury, that there haven't been any contract offers to Peters, that it wasn't really at that point. Maybe if it got to a place where, you know, the money was, you know, and the situation was such where it was just like a no-brainer, then you do it. But they were operating in mind with going forward with Andre Dillard. But I think Peters would be a really solid option because it almost solves two problems for you, Mike. You know, he did express last summer to me and a couple other reporters that he was open to eventually moving to guard. So that's in the back of my mind. Would he be willing to, in order to return to Philadelphia, to move to that guard position? And it also gives you an insurance policy if Dillard doesn't pan out. And there are people in the organization who aren't sure if Dillard is ready. So I think that, you know, Peters might end up making the most sense here.
All right, so you in your conversation, because I never got the impression that he'd be willing to do that, and he did say that to you guys. So, do you think that was an earnest statement? Like he's thinking about it now. One thing to say it back then, thinking about it now to play right guard, completely other side of the line, different position. You think he'd be okay with that? And would it be a position where they would pay even less money since it's a guard position?
I think some of it would have to come down to his options and whether there's an opportunity for him to start a tackle somewhere else. I mean, obviously his confidence is sky high. When you question the possibility of him being in like the twilight of his career or decline in play, like he'll stare right at you and be like, you tell me who's better. I mean, he feels like he's still an upper echelon talent at left tackle. And so how does that vibe with the idea of having to come back to Philly and be a right guard with somebody who you think that you're superior then, because he thinks he's superior to just about everybody in the league, and Andre Dillard. So I don't know whether he would ultimately compromise and decide that. I do know that he wants to come back to Philadelphia. That's in play as well. So he's going to have to weigh all those things versus the offers he has out on the table and make a decision.
All right. Doug Peterson was on a video conference today, and you guys were on it. I want to play you this one that he talks about a certain player being a great leader, and I want to get your reaction to this. Go ahead, Tyron.
Alshon's one of the guys. The dialogue that he's had in the receiver room, being able to converse with some of the young players that we have on our roster. But yeah, he is a big part of the process moving forward, and he's a great leader, and he's going to be able to help the young players come along.
So he's Mr. Magnanimous, we learn from that quote. It shook me a little bit. Is this a Doug puffery statement, or like, you know, what do you make of that?
It stuck out to me as well. Here's kind of what I know about the Alshon situation. Do they think that it was likely a mistake that they guaranteed his salary last year? Yes. Do they want to compound that by then getting rid of a talent while at the same time taking a really big cap hit? They don't. And so I think at least for the time being, they're trying to make it work. And the way that they look at Jeffrey is not someone with malicious intent. In other words, you know, if he made missteps, it wasn't because he's a bad guy. It's maybe because he didn't think things through. And so I feel like they are, at least in the time being, going to make it work, given the fact that, you know, it's a $15 million cap hit. They don't know what the answers are yet at wide receiver. He's still getting healthy. And so really, what's the point of cutting ties with him right now? Now, if a trade came up when he's healthy, you know, would they move him? I mean, maybe. But I think that's what they're trying to do, is not compound a mistake with another mistake, and trying to, you know, embrace him with the hope of things working out.
I can see that part of it, but I look at it like an equation. The cap hit versus the quarterback comfortability. And my sense is that the quarterback would not, you know, embrace this with open arms, nor would he embrace the Jalen Hurts selection with open arms. So, like, I would think that an organization would want to pave the smoothest road for their quarterback.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, does this get in the way of that or not?
Well, I tend to agree with you. I don't. If Wentz was so opposed to the idea of Jeffrey being on the team, I don't think he'd be on the team. So I think that somewhere along the line, this is an opinion, that he must have signed off on the idea of keeping Jeffrey around. And from what I'm told, like when those two interact, they don't interact in a way that's like super uncomfortable, or you would think they're like enemies or anything like that. Like they seem to have at least the basis of some kind of relationship. And so I know marrying all that together with what we've heard publicly is hard, but I think that, but I ultimately agree with you that, you know, trying to make it work given all the other factors might not be the best idea, because there have been these kind of hiccups. You don't want to have another one. You want to make sure that Wentz is in the best position possible. And I guess you at least leave open to the possibility of that not happening with Jeffrey still being on the team. So I think a fresh start is needed. I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't happened, but I understand, given all the different factors, the way that they're thinking about it.
Yeah, see, when I hear Coach say he's had good dialogue with young players, that scares me worse than he's talking to young players, because he could be a polluter.
Right. Yeah. No, but I don't think that's who he is.
Okay.
I don't think that's who he is. I think that maybe he just, you know, wasn't thinking things through and some of his decision making, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But isn't like a cantankerous locker room issue. I think the things that he said created issues, or allegedly said created issues, but I don't think that's generally his demeanor or personality.
All right. So what's the latest that you can read on the NFL going forward, playing and all that kind of stuff? Fans, no fans. What's the latest?
I mean, we're getting close here, and we know what the reality is right now. And so we don't have to project a ton here, Mike. And I just think it's going to be very fluid based on circumstance. But right now, I mean, we have, you know, you heard from the Cowboys where they had a couple guys who were tested positive for coronavirus. The Texans, the same thing. And these aren't guys who have been together yet. So what would the number be if they were all in the same facility, if they were practicing, if they were hitting, if they were in the same locker room? So I think it's going to be an enormous challenge to get this season up and rolling. From what I've heard, that they are planning ahead to do that. The two dates that I've heard for the Eagles reporting, I had two players mentioned July 31st to me, another one July 28th. So I think that they are planning on showing up in late July. We talked to Peterson today, and he suggested multiple times the idea that they'll use two different facilities, that they'll have Lincoln Financial Field and the NovaCare Complex to help with the spacing issues. NovaCare Complex has multiple locker rooms in it. It's another field, so they're going to have to get creative that way. And so the way that I see it is that they're going to get up off and running, but I think that there has to be, you know, some obstacles that end up popping up along the way. It's hard for me to envision 70,000 fans, you know, in September. I mean, that's just hard to imagine. And so I think it's going to be maybe scaled back initially. And it's really hard to determine what the future is going to be. But I think that they're going to start off with an optimistic and planned out approach. But who knows how it breaks from there?
Yeah, I'm sure you don't know this, but like what are the ticket people like? Do they have to impose some kind of a plan as far as limiting the amount? If they do approve some fans, or like, are they into that? Is it going to be a lottery? Like, how would they work that?
Yeah, so one piece of information that came out today from Manish Mehta was that that season ticket holders have actually been charged, you know, for their season tickets. They have been delaying them, so I need to confirm that that's right. But there's a report out there that the season ticket holders have been at least charged for the 2020 season, which is interesting. And then there have been some plans that have been pulled out, like the Pittsburgh Steelers only allotting 50% of their individual tickets for the sake of social distancing. I don't know that they have it all mapped out, but those are the kind of questions that they're going to have to get figured out between now and the opener, Mike, is how they make it work. You know, some people think that the season will start off without fans in the seats, but I don't know that anything firm has been decided on that front yet.
Wow. All right, we'll keep abreast of that situation. Good stuff, Timmy, and keep doing what you're doing. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it.
Tim McManus, covering the Eagles, ESPN.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.